Open your Bibles to the book of Genesis chapter 11, if you would please. Genesis chapter 11. Last week we began to talk about the subject of confusion. Say that word with me.
Confusion.
One more time.
Confusion.
One more time.
Confusion.
Have you ever found yourself in a state of confusion? Anybody in here? Have you? Confusion. Now, by definition, confusion, to confuse is to throw into disorder. To throw into disorder. Confusion is the state of disorder. So, by definition, confusion is a lack of order. It's disorder. And so that's a simple definition that we can start today by using it as a guide to be able to understand confusion. And you say, well, why in the world would we want to talk about confusion? Well, I believe that if you look and take every kind of complaint that you may have as a Christian when you look around and you say, well, the world has come under this condition, and these people, if you watch the news, well, they're doing wrong, and this child was violated, and this person is on drugs, and this person is stealing, this person is killing. There's all these wrongs that are being done, and these people, they're worshiping these other gods, and these people, they're in a state of where they're just accepting whatever today's society says, and these people, well, they believe in homosexuality, and the Bible says this, and these people, they're living together, they're having premarital sex, this person is addicted to prescription drugs, this person is cheating on their husband or cheating on their wife, and this person is lying to the parents, and you say, well, how can you put all those in one particular category? Well, I can. It's confusion. It's confusion. Have you ever had those times where you see something or hear something and you think to yourself, how in the world can that person think that is right? Have you ever heard that? When you look at the state of society today, and let's take our nation and the laws that have been passed and people that stand for this or stand against this, or this happens and this person is trying to do good and you see this other person that's acquitted for doing something that you know is wrong, and you think, how can people think that? Well, here's the answer. Confusion. Confusion. Now, we like to think about all those people that are doing that, and we would be the first to say, yes, the world is confused. But you know, let's bring it home. Every time that you and me do something that is against what God said is right, every time that we justify ourselves and say, well, yes, but you don't understand, this is the reason and this is the reason, but we know what God said is right. Every time that we do that, it's called sin. It is because of confusion. Now, remember the definition. Confusion is a state of disorder. We learned from the book of James last week that God was warning believers about confusion. James was explaining that there were two kinds of wisdom, godly wisdom and manly wisdom. Godly wisdom, which of course comes from God, and this wisdom is given to believers through the Holy Spirit. It lives inside of them. When a person accepts the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, then the Holy Spirit indwells them. How many people know that?
Amen.
How many people are happy about it?
Amen.
We need that. It's an internal steering device. It tells me, Mike, do this or don't do that. It gives me godly wisdom wherever I would say, but yeah, it will feel good. It will seem good. It will be better for me. There's a steering device inside of me that comes from being a child of God. When I accepted Jesus as my Savior and said, you be my Lord, I believe that I can't get to God except coming through you, Jesus. Please forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Use your blood to cover my sins. At that point in time, the Holy Spirit indwells me, and it begins to speak internally to me. Does yours? It tells you right from wrong. It tells you what to do. It tells you who to help. It tells you what kind of concern you should have towards this. It tells you when to be active. And then we have another kind of wisdom, which is manly wisdom. Everybody gets this. You get it as a human being. That manly wisdom makes you think, is this best for me? Is this what I want? Will this help me? Do I get the bigger bag? Do I get the better present? Is this going to benefit me? And so it's a selfish kind of wisdom, right? The book of James describes this earthly wisdom as earthly, sensual, and devilish. How about that for a description? But then it puts this category, it puts this wisdom in a category, and it says that this wisdom, we're told, where this selfish wisdom exists, there is confusion. And you know, I can bear witness to that. Every time I have went out on a limb and thought, you know, I know this is what seems right, but hey, think about this. Maybe nobody understands my situation, and maybe I can't apply the Bible to it, but this is what I think. Every time I step out into there, I step into confusion. It's confusion between what's right and wrong, and the devil loves it when we're there, right? The confusion that you and I have is something that the devil wants to initiate with every person, because if a person is living in a state of confusion, then they are not living in a state of truth. If a person is living in a state of confusion, they're not living in a state of truth. And here's the big thing. There's a lot of people that are living in a state of confusion that would never admit to it. They don't want to. They wouldn't dare admit that they are confused. They're pointing at me and saying, hey, you, Jack, you're the one that's confused. You're old-timey biblical thinking. You're confused. Step into 2015, man. I'm not going to prove today that I'm right. I'm going to take the Word of God and prove that He's right. See, because all order comes from God. All disorder comes from Satan. The devil wants to confuse believers as much or more than he wants to confuse non-believers. He wants to confuse believers because it will keep them from, number one, being in God's will. If you're doing something against God's will because you think that it's okay for you and you've justified it, but God said it's wrong, you're out of God's will, no matter how you look at it. Number two, it will keep you from being obedient to God. When you're confused, it'll keep you from listening to what is right and wrong that He's saying. Number three, it'll keep you from receiving His blessings. We wonder so many times as Christians, well, why isn't this going right? And why am I not happy? Why do I not have peace? And most of the time, it's because we've made a decision that goes against what God said is right. It can be something as big, we think, as doing some blatant sin, or it could be something as simple as what we don't think is sin, when we made a choice to say, oh, do I want to go and worship God today or not? What is it that I could do besides that? Well, we all know we're Christians. Where would God want you to be today? He would want you to be worshiping Him. Is that a no-brainer? It's a no-brainer because we know God wouldn't want you to be doing something else. Now, I'm not saying you can't take vacation. I'm not saying things don't come up. I'm not saying those things, so let's be realistic. I'm saying if you made a choice that said, I would rather do this today, or I've got this going on, that's a physical choice you've made. If you know and you're convicted and you know that God has said that to you and you'd go against it, then you've made a choice. You've thrown yourself into confusion. But then after a while of not listening to God, you begin to listen to yourself more. And you don't even realize you're in a state of confusion. And you would argue against those people that are saying anything different. Some of you may be in that state today. You would be the ones that are disagreeing with me right now. The devil wants to confuse believers because it keeps them from being in God's will. Because it will keep them from being obedient to God. Because it'll keep them from receiving His blessings. But he wants to confuse believers because it'll hurt their testimony and keep them from bringing others to Christ. You see, the first three things have to do with you. When you step into confusion, step out of God's order, it does hurt you. But it also hurts the people around you if you're a Christian. If you agree to step out of God's order and you know what God tells you to do, husbands, if you know your responsibilities to your wives and wives to your husband, parents, if you know your responsibilities to your children and children to your parents, according to what God says, and you step out of those, then it's going to hurt your testimony to your family, and it's going to have a confusing effect on your marriage, on your family, on your parent-child relationships, on your child-parent relationships. It works on friends, it works on dating, it works everywhere. When you step out of what God said is right and wrong, it's confusion. You see, the devil is described in 1 Peter as our adversary, our enemy. The Bible says that he is seeking to devour us. Pretty strong words, right? Jesus told us in John 10, listen as he describes the devil. He said that Satan is a thief. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's Jesus' words. Steal what? Steal my everyday peace. Kill what? Kill my testimony or my lasting effect here. And destroy. Destroy everything that I have. The devil is not for you. He wants to damn you. He wants to be able to destroy you. He wants you to be condemned. And he does not want you to have a relationship with God. That's his purpose. Now here's something else we learned last week. We learned that God is not the author of confusion. Amen? Amen? This is 1 Corinthians 14:33. I want you to say this with me, okay? God is not the author of confusion.
God is not the author of confusion.
Again, God is not the author of confusion.
God is not the author of confusion.
It's got a second part, but of peace.
Amen.
So it's telling us God is not behind all this confusion. God is a God of peace. You see, confusion is disorder, remember, by definition. So God is not the author of disorder. He's the only true and living God that put everything into order. He put creation into order. He put the earth into order. He put the world into order. And he put every human being into order. And he has also set the order of things for you after you're through living on this earth. There's an order for that. Do you know that? God is a God of order. He's a structured God. It's his order. So by definition, from him putting everything into order, he is not the God of confusion. He's the God of order. The first thing that they want to teach your child or take away is they want to take away someone teaching them that God has an order of creation. You say, well, that's just everybody's prerogative. They can teach that if they want to. It is an attempt to get you to discredit God's order. You know why? Because the devil wants you confused, but not knowing you're confused. A person doesn't know they're confused, that's bad. A person that's confused will ask for help. But if you're confused and don't know you're confused, you're not going to ask for help. You keep going further and further and further. Now, God is the author of order. Based on that, knowing that last week we spent all that time talking about what God created and how he put it in order and how he said it is good and how he made things different and how he created this and how he created this. Based on that, I want you to look today at this story in Genesis 11. It's a story about confusion. And I think by looking at this story, I was able to see some things that I want to share with you today. And they go totally against the modern day politically correct mindset, if that's okay with you. And if not, then I want you to open your mind to God's order. In Genesis 11, we have a story about the Tower of Babel. Has anybody ever heard that story, the Tower of Babel? But there's some things I want you to see in this, and let's ask us some questions, because I think God wants to prove a point here, and it may catch all of us where we live. I know it caught me where I live. You see, it's interesting to know that the word Babel actually means confusion. It's from the Hebrew, meaning confused. So they call it the Tower of Babel. So we call it the Tower of what? Tell me again. The Tower of Confusion. So this is a story. So what better story to look at? I want to read chapter 11, verses 1 through 9, if you would please read with me. It says, and the whole earth was of one language and one speech. Now, this is after Noah was off the ark, okay? This is chapter 11. I want you to understand this first sentence, and the whole earth. Now, is this part of the earth? No, it's the whole earth. Is this a quarter of the earth? Is it three quarters of the earth? No, it's the whole earth. It's the complete earth, right? The whole earth was of one language. How many languages did the earth speak?
One
language. All right, that's pretty important. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar. And they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go and let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. They had brick for stone and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go and let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven. And let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one. They have all one language. And this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down. That means come. Let us go down. And there confound their language that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of the earth. And they left off to build a city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth. And from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon all the face of the earth. And you may look at this story and you may say, hey, what is the big deal? These people wanted to form a city. They wanted to set up their own government. They wanted to build a tower to recognize. What is so bad about that? But understand, until we go back and learn the story, you'll never realize how big a deal this was. You see, this totally went against what God told them. But there's something that I want you to notice here, and this is what was going to be our springboard. You see, in verse 7, it says, the Lord said, let us go down and confound their language. Now, God was, of course, speaking about the Godhead, the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and who? Okay. Now, he said this same thing in Genesis 1 when he said, let us make man in our own image. Understand, God was speaking as the Godhead in three parts. He said, let us go down and confound their language. Now, listen, he said, we're going to confuse man's language. You know, confound means confuse. So, notice verse 9. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confuse or confound the language of the earth. It clearly says, if you agree with me, I want you to say you do. It clearly says that the Lord confused the language of man at Babel. Do you see that? Everybody see it. All right? Tell your neighbor, the Lord confused the language at Babel. That's why it's called Babel. Now, we're clear on that. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to see this, but here's what I want you to see. By confusing the language, if you notice the last verse of chapter 11, or the last verse we read, it said that the Lord confused their language. From thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon all the face of the earth. So, we know by this, when he confused their language, it caused mankind to go in different parts of the earth and develop different cultures and have different characteristics. This is when it happened. And the Lord did it. He confused their language. And when this happened, well, there was these people that were building a tower, right? And the one guy said, hey, we don't have any stone here on this plain, but this is where we're going to set up this city, and this is where we're going to make bricks. Here's the recipe for making bricks, and here's this person's in charge of this, and this person's in charge of this. And God scattered their language, so the guy that was telling him how much mud to put in, he was like, I don't know what you're saying. Why are you speaking some different? I can't understand you. Je ne comprends pas. Those of you that take French, you knew what I said, right? I don't know. I don't know what you say. I don't speak that. Blah, 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 blah. What's that mean? How in the world could all these people build something together? How could they work together? How could they live together? They couldn't speak. So guess what they had to do? Scatter. They had to scatter abroad. So that's the story. And God put that stop building order on the Tower of Babel. And the people had to scatter. But here's the question. I want you to think about this. If we're told in 1 Corinthians 14 that God is not the author of confusion. I heard you say that a minute ago, right? If we're told he's not the author of confusion, and then we see that God, clearly it was God that confused the language of man so that they scattered throughout the earth, is this not a contradiction of the Bible? Or how do we discern these two statements? Sort of puts a wrinkle in your brain, right? He's not the author of confusion, but didn't you tell me it clearly says the Lord confused their language and initiated something? I want to show you today that this is clearly not a contradiction of God's word by showing you that God set the order of man in place And the devil confused man by convincing man to use his own selfish wisdom. Remember the book of James? The devil convinced man to use his own selfish wisdom instead of God's. So God had to confuse man's wisdom so that man could get back in God's order. See, God didn't confuse his own order. That would be confusion. God confused man's confusion. You say, what is that? It's a double negative. Here's the point I want to be able to speak to you today. You've probably been there before, so have I. There are times when I've left God's order. There are times when you've left God's order. Maybe nobody else even knows. But in order for God to get you back on the right track, he has to come down and confuse your confusion so that you can get back to order. He will never confuse the right order. He's not the author of confusion. That's the devil. He comes in after the devil confuses and makes life to where you don't want to stay in that confusion. You have to scatter from it. You see what I'm saying? It's a righteous and awesome God that cares about us that makes us, that takes time to come in and make us feel miserable. I talk to a lot of people that are miserable. I talk to a lot of people that are confused. I talk to a lot of people that are confused and don't know they're confused. They're ready to champion their side of it. So let's learn about what led up to this point of confusion at the Tower of Babel. You see, if you leave here today and you say, Pastor Mike said this or Pastor Mike said that, that doesn't help you, as my granddad said, a hill of beans. That doesn't matter a bit. It doesn't matter. Don't leave and say that. I want you to be able to say, God's word said this, okay? But I'm going to tell you something. The state of our society today, the state of the family unit today, the state of husband and wife today, the state of relationships today outside of wedlock, the state of being righteous as far as God calls righteous, the state of crime, the state of everything depends on this principle of confusion. And our nation, if you look today and turn on one newscast, if you're a Christian and are obedient to God's word and scratch your head and say, how in the world can people be thinking that? The answer is they bought into the devil's confusion. So I want you to see how this happened in Babel. We'll be able to apply it to our lives. Take your Bible and look at what happened. God wants us to know. That's why he put it in his word. In the book of Genesis chapter 1, a good place to start, right? Genesis chapter 1. And I'll try to move through this, but I want you to be able to prove to yourself by reading what you see written in God's Word. And if you're somebody that reads all this and says, hey, well, you know, I don't know if I really believe God's Word, then the devil's got you right where he wants you. You are confused. And I pray that you would be convicted today to be able to see that God is smarter than you are. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 and 28, listen, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. He was telling man to increase in number and basically fill the earth. Do you see that? Simple statement. Increase in number, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth. What did God want? He wanted the earth filled. How did he start it? He started it with a man and a woman. Imagine that. It took a man and a woman. And you would think today that there's a philosophy in our society that says two men can be together or two women can be together. Listen, if that's not confusing, you're ending your society. Can that be right at all? No. So you have to wonder. Did God know what he was doing? Yes, he was setting order in place. Anybody that believes against that, well, that seems confusing, doesn't it? So he put a man and woman in place and he said, here's what you can do. Be fruitful and multiply. Well, this church has no problem with that because we're always having babies born in here, right? But here's the thing. Put this scenario in place, okay? Let's say that every couple here that was able to have a child had a child this year. And then the next year, well, let's give you a break, moms. Every couple that was able to have a child had a child. Now, would we be able to stay in this place? No. Would we be able to stay in a building a little bit bigger? No. See, God told them to be fruitful, multiply, spread out, fill the earth, subdue it. You know what he wanted? He wanted them to move out. Spread his word. He says, spread it to who? Their new societies. God separated man at that point when he told Adam, he said, your job is to be able to raise up families that go out, and that way you can go over here and you can enjoy in this mountain living, and y'all can praise God and worship over here. And you can move over to this part of the earth that I've created that has a colder climate, and you can enjoy this. And this one has more rivers. You go over here and live off the rivers. And this one, it has an ocean, so you go over here and you be a maritime people. And you people, you go over here and you farm this fertile land, and you live here. And so God made different people for different places. And we see that as God did that, he had a reason. So we go on. You see, your Bible tells you that's in Genesis, but then we see by the time that God commanded Noah to go and build the ark, Genesis 6, turn over to Genesis 6. By the time he commanded Noah to build the ark, man had different ideas of his own. Man had his own wisdom. See, God's purpose was for man to go over here and worship him, and man to go over here and worship him, because if you have too many people in one place, then somebody could just pop up and say, here's what we need to do. Look how many people would go astray. God wanted a unit over here, a unit over here, a unit over here. By Genesis 6, man had his own way of thinking. You see, when we get to Genesis chapter 6, we see that Noah had to build an ark because, well, man had become wicked. You see, this happened over a period of 1,556 years. You say, how can you be so sure? Well, I took the time to add it up. You can too. Go back to the book of Genesis and you will be able to see. It wasn't Cain and Abel that Adam's generation passed through. Adam had a son named Seth, and it'll tell you how old Adam was when Seth was born. And Seth had a son named Enos. And Enos had a son named Canaan. Canaan had a son named Mahalo. Mahalo had a son named Jared. Jared had a son named Enoch. Enoch had Methuselah. Methuselah had Lamech. Lamech had Noah. That's 10 of them. Hard to remember, but it's 10 of them. If you go back and look, it'll tell you how many years old they were when they had those sons. 1,556 years. Read Genesis 6 with me. Look at the state of mankind. This is before the flood. It says, and God saw, verse 5, the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination and thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. It repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man from whom I have created, from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and every creeping thing, the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. How about that? You see, the world was filled with people who were evil continually. Their hearts were evil. They were thinking evil things. The book of Isaiah categorizes it this way. It says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that call light darkness and darkness light. Woe unto them, right? Don't you feel like you're living in a world to where what you know is good, the Bible says, people are calling evil? If you stand for what the Bible says, people are going to call you intolerant, narrow-minded. When you're talking about a God of love that wants to save them eternally. So who's confused? You see, understand something. When he sees that man is continually wicked, God takes man out of the picture. It happened here at the flood. Happened again a couple of chapters over in a place called Sodom and Gomorrah because they went against God's order. And you know what happened there, right? They were so into homosexuality that God even gave them a chance, and they were so into it, they wanted to assault the angels that came down to see if there were any righteous. They had become wicked in their mind, and God took them off the face of the earth. You see, man gets together by himself, whether it's a city like Sodom and Gomorrah, a place like it was before the flood, and he begins to have his own wisdom. What God said is right doesn't necessarily mean that it's right, and man goes off on his own. You say, well, I know those people. Listen, it's us people. We sit here and make judgments on what God said is right and wrong every day. I have people all the time say, well, can you show me where it's at in the Bible? Or what does this say? And I have no problem with somebody saying, can you show me where it's at? But you know what? Sometimes you just know it's wrong and you're trying to find a way that says, if God doesn't specifically say this, then it's okay. When you know it's wrong and I know it's wrong. God's word might say it, or it might just be the conviction in your heart, even from somebody that's not a believer. There's a moral conviction of what God puts in every man of what's right and wrong. That's why a thief hides when he does it. Now, here's the deal. God made a flood come upon the earth. We know that Noah built an ark. God destroyed all the human and animal life on the earth, the great flood, except Noah and his family. And after that, they came out of the ark, and God commanded them. Genesis 8, go two chapters over. Listen to his commandment, Genesis 8. You'll see where I'm going with this. And God spoke unto Noah, saying, verse 15, go forth out of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy son's wife with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee of all flesh, both fowl and cattle, every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. Listen to this. Imagine God's plan. I'll take Noah and his wife and sons and their wives. That's what you're going to need to replenish the earth. And God said, we're going to start over. Here's what I want you to do. Here's the command. Go out, be fruitful, multiply upon the earth. In other words, go out, multiply, spread out, take my word out, form this place and this place and this society and this society. And by Genesis chapter 9, verse 1, the Bible tells us, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Hey, it sounds like a broken record, doesn't it? Are we getting the point? What does God say? Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. Verse 7 of Genesis 9. And you, be fruitful and multiply. Listen, bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply therein. Why was God so insistent, so intentional? You see, God was telling them to the same as Adam and Eve. Multiply, spread out throughout the earth. Fill it, replenish it. Fill the earth with people that worship me. But by Genesis 11, something changed. Mankind rebelled against God. They had a leader named Nimrod. If you want to learn about Nimrod, you'd have to go back to the 10th chapter. Here's what it says about Nimrod. These couple of verses, it says, verse 8, Cush begot Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord, wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel. What does Babel mean? Tell me again. Now, his kingdom. Anybody that has a kingdom must be what? Well, that's an easy question. Here, I'll ask you one more time. I'm going to give you a chance not to embarrass, okay? Anybody that has a kingdom must be a what? Give you a clue. The word is in kingdom. Hey, anybody that has a kingdom must be a what? So they were following King Nimrod. And King Nimrod said, hey, listen, let's stop. Let's stop and let's build something. Let's build something good. Let's build something big. I want everybody to stay right here and not scatter out. I want you to listen to what I have to say because I'm going to lead you because it's my kingdom. We know that because under his leadership, they stopped and built a tower that would reach into the heavens. And God looked and saw it. And verse 4 says, and they said, come or go to, let us build a city. This is what the people were saying. Let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach into the heaven. Listen, and let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth. Isn't that the opposite of what God's been commanding since Adam and Eve? You see, God made people different, to go different places. And he told them to spread out. And then he had one language. So God said, I'm going to confuse the language of man. Because man had decided, I don't want to spread out. See, it's dangerous when you begin to follow a man. One man. An earthly man. You see, they wanted to do the opposite of what God had told them to do. And he instructed them to fill and replenish the earth. They said, we want to build this tower. We want to make a name for ourselves. And why is this? And here's why. You know, man's wisdom wanted to make a name for himself, and we're talking about history, but your wisdom wants you to make a name for yourself too. Mine does too, don't we? Everybody. We want what's best for us, don't we? We make those decisions based on what's best for us. We want to make a name for us. I know God said scatter out and do this, but we want to be here. We're going to be called Babel, and we're going to build a tower that reaches into heaven. It's going to be one of those high places where we can see over everything, and it promotes us. It's a pride thing. It's a selfish thing. It's selfish wisdom. They came from the east, and God said, go and set up this here. The whole land is yours. Imagine, the whole land is yours, and they want to stay there. You say, is it still a big sin? Yeah, they went against God's order. Therefore, man by his own wisdom, selfish wisdom, brought confusion to God's order. He said, how dare they? That's what I would ask us. We do it all the time. By our own selfish wisdom, we bring confusion into our life. Do you realize that? Every sin that you've ever committed, every sin that I've committed, is because we've chosen to do something other than what God said we should do. That's a problem of confusion. That's selfish wisdom. That's man's wisdom. God knew that man could not prosper. Prosper is a good word. Man could not prosper if they were to be in one place following the command of one man. If you notice Genesis 11, 3 and 4, it says, man began to act upon his own desire, basically, his own wisdom. Well, how do you know? Listen, let us make brick. Let us build a city. Let us make us a name. You say, well, that's a good history lesson. It's not a good history lesson. That is a lesson that's happening today that we need to see. Man in his own wisdom is trying to build Babel again. Man in his own wisdom is sinning against God on a small scale and a large scale. For us to convince ourselves that murdering unborn children is right in some kind of way and going against the God that gave life, we're confused. For us to be able to say that men and women should be together, we're confused. For every person that decides to go outside of God's contract of marriage where he says, therefore shall this man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall become one flesh, this man, this woman, they're confused. For everybody that says, okay, well, sex is okay outside of marriage when God calls fornication so many times a sin because it's such a precious thing, he gave it to the marriage to bond them together, something's wrong. It's confused. And you've got a whole generation that would say, I'm confused for preaching it. They would have to disagree with God's word. For every person that chooses to stay in an unsober mindset and do some kind of thing that alters their mindset, whether it's drinking or whether it's drugs or whether it's prescription drug, they're confused. They're buying into the devil's lie. For everybody that says, it's okay, we need to all come together. I don't care if you believe in this God and you believe in this God. Listen, that's confusion. Do you know why? Because God said, it's not good to be following a man. I told you to scatter so that you could take me here and here and here. You say, well, is this a timely message? I think it's the most timely message because I just explained to you on a small scale, on an individual scale, when man can choose, and even us Christians, when we can choose and say, hey, do we want to go to church today? Well, let me ask you something. How many people here know where you should be today? We've already said that. Where should you be? You should be worshiping the Son of God today if you're saved, right? Something compels you to come here. When you choose other than that, then you're choosing your own wisdom. It happens every day. But let's talk large scale. Large scale. Do you know what? In the past several weeks, I was blown away. I sat and watched a nation sit and glorify a man that says he represents God, that came to this country, and they fell before him, and they worshiped him. And you listen to people just talk and clamor about this man that represented everything. And he never said that you had to personally accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and claim the blood of Jesus. He said that you could come through him or you could come through a priest. There is nothing that God condones about that. Nothing. And for people to worship him and say that's the way you get to the Father, they're confused. You say, well, why are you picking on him? What about other men? I don't care. Billy Graham, probably the godliest man that I know that's alive on the earth, he don't want you to worship him either. You don't come through a man. You come through the Son of Man, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. These people stayed in one spot. God said, I know it's wrong. You say, is that bad? Yes, it's bad. You know why? Here's what it goes to. Look throughout history. Look at the people that have tried to say, I want to be the leader of the world. And look at the damage. Look at the attrition that comes from them. Ask a history teacher. She'll be able to tell you everybody from Hitler to Napoleon to Mussolini to Alexander the Great to everybody that tried to do it. And now, understand this, the Bible tells me there's coming a day, and this day is coming when it's going to happen again. And his name is the Antichrist. Pick up the Bible. Read the book of Thessalonians. Read the book of Revelation. It'll tell you that this man will come and people will believe a lie. What does that mean? They'll be confused and they'll fall and bow at him. And he'll come in the name of religion. He'll come in the name of peace, but he's a liar. And that is confusion, and the world is buying into it. God had a purpose for scattering people. He has a purpose for everything that he's done. You know why? He wanted different people in different places. All we hear today is man's mindset. And I know, you know what? This is not politically correct. I understand that. God had a purpose. We clearly read how many times he said, scatter, scatter. You know that he made us differently, right? When he scattered, do you know that men went to this place and went to that place? And as they went to this part of the world and that part of the world, guess what? They changed. Their skin changed. The color of them changed. You say, well, how did men's color change? I believe that God, when he created Adam, he picked up that handful of dust and he breathed in it. In that handful of dust, there was every color of dirt. There was yellow dirt, clay. There was red dirt. There was black dirt. There was white dirt, sand. He breathed into that. Every man had the possibility of coming out of that breath of dust, right? And when he scattered men, and their language went, and they went to this climate, then men went to different places, and they were different. He wanted them to be different. And we have this mindset in the world today that says, oh, it's okay. Everybody can come together. You come together with him, and you come together with him. Sure, you can come together with some things, but what you're doing is creating confusion. The products of that is confusion. The families are confused. Everybody's confused because you've lost, you're a different culture. You're different, you have different characteristics. You say, well, who is better? Who should be? Nobody's better. God said he's not a respecter of persons. Everybody's made different. And we're on this big campaign that says nobody is different. Everybody is one. The only way we can be one is one in Christ. We can worship together. We can praise God together. But we don't like the same things. We don't act the same way. We're not made the same way. And nobody wants to preach it. It's like the obvious thing. We see it and we say, well, hey, you know, you need to get with the times. I've never seen a time of more confused families in my life. Never. You say, oh, you're preaching against this and you're preaching against all these things you're preaching against. Yeah, make your laundry list. I'm not preaching to please you. I'm preaching what he laid on my heart. I look at these things and I say, okay, am I confused or is the rest of the world confused? God told us we needed to be different because he needs somebody different worshiping here and different worshiping here. I can get with somebody different and worship in a new kind of way. Praise God, he needs people different places, right? Here's what I want to tell you. This is why this is so important. You see, God's told us that today we're going to be sold a bill of confusion. I listened several weeks ago with the push that comes from the Pope that came to town. I listened to the push that comes from our political leaders. Everybody wants to come together as one. Here's the big plan. Listen, everybody's falling into the devil's lie of confusion. We have the European Union. We've got our national leaders that meet and they come together at the... They claim that they're coming together for one purpose, and the one purpose is for us all to come together as one. Understand, God writes that. He says we're going to buy that bill of lies. Here's what the Bible says. Isaiah 24, 23. Then the man shall be confounded. The moon shall be confounded. The sun ashamed when the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem. And before his ancient gloriously. The only one world government that's going to be set up is going to be set up by Jesus Christ our Lord. He is the only one to be set that's going to set up a one world government. You say, shouldn't we all come together? We all have to come together in Christ Jesus. If we keep trying to come together with this what this politician says or what this person says or what this country says or what this nationality or this race or this creed or whatever says, it doesn't work. It's never worked. Remember Babel? God said, scatter out and come together in me. There will be one King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That is when we'll have a one world government. But not just taking my word for it. I've got some more examples. Jeremiah 23, listen to what he says. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. Another example, Revelation chapter 11. Listen to what John writes in Revelation 11:15. He says, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of his world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign, how long? Forever and ever. Who's that talking about reigning? Jesus Christ reigning. It's not a man that reigns. The devil would love for us to follow one leader. And guess what? The world is going to do it. His name is called the Antichrist. And only the ones that choose not to follow him are the ones that will be spared during the tribulation time. And we're buying into that as a society? The Bible goes on to say in Revelation chapter 17, listen to verse 14. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called the chosen and faithful. Guess what? This world leader that wants the one world government, he's going to come up against the worthy opponent, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. And he's going to be defeated. Revelation 19, verse 6 says this. And I heard as if it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God, omnipotent, reigneth forever. Now, I want to give you this verse because you're familiar with this, but you tell me what you think. Who in the world is going to be the one world leader? This is Philippians chapter 2. You've read it before. It's familiar to you. Listen to it. Philippians chapter 2. Begin in verses 9 and 10. This is what the Bible says. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Who are they speaking about? Jesus, right? That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven, things of earth, things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Whether you're here today and you're saying, hey, I don't believe what you're preaching or I'm not buying that or whatever, listen, there will be no one world government until Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And whether you believe it or not, your knee will bow. Every knee that disagrees with God will bow to Jesus Christ and confess him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Because he is the only one that can bring people together in one place. It's not the person you'll vote for next year. It's not the person that's campaigning saying, I'm going to do this. Unless that person has an agenda for God, you don't need to vote for him. Because through God is the only way that he brings people together. Otherwise, he needs to scatter them. You understand? We're made to be different. We're the same in God. The devil hates this. He hates that Jesus is going to set up his kingdom. He's read the same thing we read today. The devil hates it, and because he hates it, he set up an agenda to confuse man by using man's selfish wisdom and tempting man to reject God's wisdom. Here's what I know about the devil. I'm not going to read you everything, but I'd like to read you this. It came from a pretty worthy source. His name's Jesus Christ. John 8:42, it says, Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? They were confused. Listen, why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie. He speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and a father of it. God is the author of order. The devil is a liar and the author of confusion. The father of confusion. That means the author. He began it. You see, he tempts us to choose our own wisdom. The devil has never made you or me or anybody here sin. Never has he made you. He has given you a choice as simple as his children's sermon to choose something that God has not condoned, something that you think will benefit you, or a way that makes you sound smarter, or something that you want to feel, or the novelty of something new that says, okay, society's accepting this. Here's the novelty of something new. I'm going to do it because everybody else is doing it. Well, let me tell you something about confusion. Confusion happens like it happens in Babel. It comes from one person, but it's easier to be confused when you join together with people that are accepting confusion. So then it runs in packs, right? And so this person becomes confused, then this group, then this group, then this nation, then this society, and it will lead all the way up to the book of Revelation when Jesus comes back and the trumpet blows and he takes us out of here. The tribulation happens, and then he comes back. And he says, I'm going to put an end to this once and for all. The devil's been creating confusion since we began. In that Garden of Eden, God told Adam, told Eve, I'm giving you everything here. Be fruitful, multiply. You got everything you need. There's nothing you could want. And the devil comes down and says, oh, but there is. Let me throw some confusion in it. God doesn't really say that. He just doesn't want you to be as smart as him. You see that tree he told you not to take? Go look at it. Touch it. Smell that fruit. It's pleasing to the eye. Take it. Eat it. You're going to be as smart as God. Do you know why man is confused? We're trying to be smarter than God. We're trying to write the order. I don't care what college you go to, what place of higher learning, where you sit here today and you look at me and you think he's some old-fashioned preacher. I'm standing on the Word of God, which is unchanging. And I would ask you to consider your own knowledge, your own wealth of knowledge, as it's grown and you're surrounded by people who are confused, who look at me and think I'm confused. You see, when the devil tempts us to choose our own wisdom, that is confusion. When we choose wisdom that's against God, no matter what reason we think we have, well, I love them. I love them, so it makes it right. If God didn't say it was right, it's not right. I need that, so I need to take it. It's still stealing. I love them, so we can be together. That's still fornication. She's not good to me, and I don't like her anymore, and this one's good to me. That's adultery. God's got a name for every bit of it. It's wrong if it's wrong. No matter how we try to justify it, our wisdom really is laughable if you think about it. Amen. You know why it's laughable? It's confusion. Because God is clearly saying, I can read your mind. I know what you want. You're trying to make something out to work for yourself, right? Let me ask you something. You don't have to think about this whole country, this nation, the politics, or anything behind it. I want to ask you something. Are you confused? Because I had to ask myself that. I want to challenge you today to think about anything that you might be confused about. And it won't just come to you by your own thinking. Understand this. Sometimes when you're confused, you've tried to support that so hard because you don't want to be wrong because you want what you want. I want you to think about, what is that thing that I do get convicted about, but then I'm able to put it aside? What is that thing that I know God's word says this, but I've sort of said this is day and time, and you know, maybe it's my faithfulness, maybe it's something I'm doing, maybe it's a habit, maybe it's something I'm doing outside of God's will, maybe it's something, but I know that I'm bothered by it, but then it goes away. That's God's way of being able to call you back. See, he steps in and confuses your life. If you're living in that place and you don't have that peace, it looks like no blessings. Understand, Christian, you can't be blessed if you're living outside of God's will under the lie of confusion that the devil gives you. You can't. It's impossible. And if you're here today, you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, and you think, I want to be good enough to go to heaven, the Bible says that's confusing. The devil tells you that you can go to heaven because you're good enough or because you follow some religion or some different place to heaven. You can't. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You can't come to God except by me. You have to confess that you're a sinner, believe in Jesus Christ, and ask him to forgive you of your sins. So I challenge you today. If you're here and you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, step out of confusion today. Base your life on God's word. He will put a spirit in you that will lead and guide and direct you. He wants to give you the blessings and peace. He loves you. Amen. He wants to prosper you. And if you're a Christian, you're here today, ask yourself, at what part of my life am I messing with confusion? Give it to God and ask him to convict you of it. Ask him to take it away. Give you clarity about it. What do you got to lose? Bow before God. I see so many families today that are scattered. I see so many families today that are full of confusion. I see so many people's life where they're chasing something that God hasn't condoned. There is no way you'll find happiness at the end of that. Come and pray to him today. Surrender your mind to him and say, God, show me if I'm living in any area of confusion. Stand with me, please.